And the catfish is way better down here than it is in Wisconsin, let's be honest.
I don't know about the cheese, though.
Maybe not. No, they got good curds.
There's good cheese here. Well, you know, just not curd.
Well, speaking of Saline County, we go to Saline County now on the Revolution Hotline, and Diane Grapp was one of the passengers stuck on the Carnival Triumph in recent days. Just got a chance to return to Arkansas after an extremely forgettable trip. Diane, I appreciate you joining us. How are you today?
Doing good. Doing much better today.
Yes. So, yeah, I imagine so. And if you are familiar with the last name, Diane has some daughters that were pretty darn good basketball players back in the day. Brian, who I got a chance to meet when I was over at Channel 7. And as we were just talking in the break, you were known as the mother of these basketball players. Now they may be known as the daughters to one of the poor passengers stuck on the Carnival Triumph. So when did you find out, or when did the passengers realize that something had gone terribly wrong on the Carnival Triumph?
About 5:30 Sunday morning, we got a call over like the loudspeaker that you could hear all the announcements they were making, and there was an announcement, something about Alpha, which we didn't know what that meant. We just kind of all woke up. There were seven of us, two, three, and two, all in all together, you know, side by side. So we all ran into each other's room, and none of us knew what that meant. But one of the girls said Alpha means fire. Mm. So we said, oh, good God. So we all got dressed and got real nervous. But then you can hear a lot of rumbling in the hallways and stuff. And the more we just kind of, you know, got dressed, started heading outside, out in the hallways, we heard that there was a fire in the engine. And that's about all we knew for a little while.
So did somebody come and speak to you all in person, or when did that happen? I'm assuming at some point that happened.
No, they never came in person. We were on second floor, but the zero floor was actually where all the crew was. And the first floor, after we got out and after, you know, like almost, you know, hours later, we did find out that they did go to everyone on the first floor, you know, beating on their doors, telling them to get out and go on the deck. And because before we left, you know, we have this exercise where you go out on the deck and they tell you about your life preserver and, you know, what to do if there's a fire or if there's some kind of accident. So they had told all those on first floor to get out in that area. Mm-hmm. But at that point, we didn't know anything. They didn't tell the whole ship to do that by any means or anything like that.
When did you all take off from port?
We left on Thursday.
Okay, so you'd been at sea for a few days.
Yes.
Okay.
This was we had had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and you know this was actually Sunday morning, so we were almost at the end.
Oh wow! Diane Grapp joining us in the zone. She was on the Carnival Triumph, the cruise ship that was stuck adrift at sea for a few days. So, okay, so when you realize you're not moving, you're not going anywhere, what happened then, and when did things start getting unbearable from the passenger's perspective?
Well, of course, it was seven women, so we were kind of lost. We would always, anytime we would see a man running, you know, walking by, we'd say, what's going on, you know, because we just really kind of didn't know.
Yeah, that's your first mistake, because most of the time we're pretty clueless anyway as a race of people and as men.
But we found a couple of men that were always so good to help us to come and kind of explain things to us. But we just, you know, they would kind of explain that we were, you know, we knew we wasn't moving. But one of our things about the whole thing was, that all happened at 5:30, and they kept saying they were checking the engines and, you know, seeing what they could do. They actually didn't call for help till the next day.
Hmm.
And that's what most of the passengers were upset about, is I think we could have come home sooner had they immediately called someone, or, you know, called the tugboat, supposedly came, like, they let them know, like, 18 hours or so later to come on.
Mm-hmm.
And We wish they would have told them immediately, come on, if we don't need you, go on back. But if we're going to need you, you know, we could have been that much ahead of schedule.
Right. So tell me what happened then. I mean, there were stories of, you know, food running out or there being spoiled food or all kinds of different issues. Can you tell me what kinds of things you all experienced?
We did. The first thing, of course, the lights went out. So we had no electricity. They did have, like, emergency power. We were on second floor with no balcony, so when it was dark, I mean, you know, when it was night, we had no light. If you did have a balcony, you could go go out on your balcony. But the smell, of course, I know you've heard that all the bathrooms, none of them were working. Occasionally, some would work and some wouldn't. And so you couldn't use the bathrooms. I know it's just been the big joke, but they did have these bags they provided. Mm. And they told you to do that and put it out in the hallway. They wanted you to, you had to go to the bathroom, go in the shower. I mean, just a lot of bad things that we were having to do. But the food, we were on second floor, so we had to walk up to the ninth floor. And, you know, it was just, by the time we'd get up there, there would be gobs of people in line. The first day they tried to do hamburgers, we waited in line for 3.5 hours for a hamburger.
Jeez.
That was it. No chips, no nothing, you know, just a hamburger, which we were delighted to get. But at first they didn't ration the food. You could go up there and get just as much as you wanted to. And then, you know, they were running out. So then they started having the staff hand out, like if you went in the line, you would just get one piece of meat or whatever, which they should have done that as a get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Because people were getting nervous and going up there and just getting everything they could find.
Sure. Well, we've seen people freak out when there's a snowstorm, so I can only imagine what it's like on a cruise ship when you think you may be stuck at sea for a few days.
Yeah.
So this was a bunco group you were in that was on vacation, is that right?
Yes. There's eight of us. We've been playing for about 20 years, a little over 20 years. One of our ladies, one of our lucky ladies, didn't go. She couldn't go because of her work.
Yeah.
But it was seven of us, and you know, I get kind of emotional talking about them, but we stuck together, and we just, you know, we all had our ups and downs at different times, and we were all there for each other, and it's just something we'll never, ever forget.
Did you ever fear for your safety?
Yeah, I did. I did written the very first thing about the fire, I guess because everybody was still up and running around, you know, and we could smell the smoke, but we never saw it at first or anything. So I don't know. It was just kind of like you didn't see it, so you didn't think it was really happening. But one of the nights, we couldn't stay in our room. We had to move all our mattresses out to the deck, and we were sleeping on the deck. And like I said, there were just kind of emergency lights. Well, one night, all the lights on the ship went off. Just was total darkness, total, you know, just silence for a minute. And then everybody, you know, you kind of tell we're getting restless. And we kind of grab onto each other, and I grab my life jacket, and I just said a little prayer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because I did, I thought that was going to be the end right then.
Oh, boy.
But it wasn't, and the lights came back on, the emergency lights, and, you know, we were all right there together.
Diane Grab joining us. She was on the Carnival Triumph. Had you been on a cruise prior to this?
Yes, I had. Me and my husband had been on one with some adults, and then we went on another one. We took our girls, a family trip. So, you know, I know what a cruise is supposed to be like.
Sure.
So I'm okay with it, you know. I mean, I don't know that I'll go on another one, but most of the people that have never been, they will never step foot on a cruise.
What did the company do for you all when you got back?
They were really generous, and the staff was wonderful. Those little workers worked 24/7. They were wonderful. When we got back, they, you know, out when we came off the ramp, there was water, Cokes, whatever you wanted, honey. They were handing it out to you. And McDonald's was there, and they had sacks of chicken McNuggets and gave it to us. And there was just, you know, people cheering and everything. And it was just so good to see our families. You know, all our families drove down to pick us up because we had actually left our car in Galveston, but our car was picked up, so we didn't have to go back to Galveston.
Okay.
So we were just so thankful for that.
Well, I know it was a tough experience. I'm assuming, I was just, when you were telling me the story about being on there with your daughters before, I'm thinking, you know, if you had to choose, probably being with your group of friends and not putting your kids through that was probably would be a preference for you. That would have been extremely tough. I can't imagine being in that situation, having to worry about myself and my kids.
Oh, yeah, and there were people there that had babies, you know. I felt so sorry for the elderly and people in wheelchairs and the people that had babies. That was our most concern, because they struggle. We all struggle, but they struggled more when those elevators weren't working for the people that were, you know, in wheelchairs. It was tough. It was tough for them.
Well, I'm glad you made it back safe, and I appreciate you joining us today. How are your daughters involved in basketball anymore? Any of them involved in sports at all?
No. One of my daughters, Ashley, she is refereeing.
Okay.
And she's going this summer to a camp. She's wanting to start refereeing for college, so she's doing all the steps that she needs to go through. She's been doing high school level and junior high, and she's going to go and wants to start doing the college level.
Well, good.
We're excited about that.
Well, that's good. Well, Diane, I'm so glad you made it back safe. I appreciate you joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm sure she was already pretty tight with that group of women that she traveled with. Imagine how they feel about each other now. You could hear it in her voice.
Well, look, we've all seen, you know, and Tommy made a good point this morning. I mean, 99% of the time, you know, cruises go very well. I mean, they go, you know, great. So this is it's an anomaly in the big scheme of things. But it's still, look, it's scary moments, and there were a lot of Arkansans on that ship, and, you know, I'm glad they made it back safe. I cannot imagine. Look, anybody who's seen Titanic, and I imagine most people who've ever been on a cruise have probably seen it, you start thinking the worst, and when stuff like, you know, you smell smoke or the lights all go out, your mind starts going to places you don't want it to go, and you can't help it. I mean, you fear for your life, I'm sure. I can't imagine what that's like. So,
I mean, not to, you know, take away what all of them went through. Every vacation that you go on, especially when you leave the country, you're at risk.
Sure.
And that's just a fact. You know, I agree with Tommy. I mean, just less than a half a percentage point of the cruises that go out experience problems like this. I mean, you hear about some of the stuff that happens on cruises, you know, viruses and stuff like that, and germs and whatever. But
it's like working here.
This won't keep people from... I wonder how many people won't go on a cruise because of this. You know, I'm not excited about cruises to begin with.
I have a friend who's afraid to go. We talked about this when the story first happened. I have a friend who won't go because he's afraid of pirates. And I mean literally afraid of, like, people coming up and trying to take over the ship. Which I think when there's 4,000 people on there, it's probably a very limited possibility. But hey, whatever.
It sounds like the next Bruce Willis Die Hard movie.
Well, you know what? It wouldn't be the farthest thing, I guess, most far-fetched thing. It's amazing it hasn't happened.
I'm sure that's going to be the next one.
It's a great one. You know what? We need to get together, write that story, write that movie.
Die Hard on a boat.
Yes. It's probably as good as what he's doing now. Anyway, I appreciate Diane coming in. And I'm sure it was scary. I can't imagine. You got game balls. Hey, jockstrap to the...